Book of Proverbs in your Bible in chapter 20. We're going to begin there in just a moment. Back in the Old Testament, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, chapter 20. We have considered this year and the topic faith. May our faith be seen in 2016. We got the posters up here, the big one in the foyer, and little ones all over the building. And I had someone mention a couple weeks after we put them up, I said, he said, well, I guess you want our faith to be seen. And I said, yeah, that's right. I will be reminded of that. But our faith is seen in a lot of ways. And one of the ways we're going to consider this morning, our faith is seen in our faithfulness. Our faith is seen in our faithfulness. You know, we can say that we have faith that, just one example, say that we have faith that God will supply all your need. Principle from God's word. But that is seen in our faithfulness in giving of our tithes and offerings. Saying, I believe God will supply. I'm going to be faithful in doing that. Trusting God that God will be true to his word, and he always is, of course. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is deserving of trust. Someone that is trustworthy. Someone, if they tell you they're going to do something, they will do it. If they tell you they're going to be someplace, either they will be there, or they will let you know that they cannot be there. Someone told me just yesterday about someone told them they would pick them up someplace. And instead of picking them up, they went and found some ratty old furniture someplace and took that furniture home. And they forgot all about their wife. I won't say who that was. And reupholstered the furniture. It's beautiful today. But he forgot. We men have a problem with that, don't we? We forget. I had just this last week, my wife had to remind me, today is your brother's birthday. My older brother, Dennis, he turned 66 this week. And today is your brother's birthday. And I said, okay, I tried to call him and he wouldn't even answer his phone. I said, he never calls me on my birthday. She says, that doesn't matter. So finally, I got a hold of him last night. I got after him for not answering his phone. Showing true and constant support or loyalty. Faithfulness. Being faithful. Being faithful, we can look at all kinds of different aspects of life when we consider this matter of faithfulness. We want to begin with two verses from Proverbs that are kind of maybe the opposite of this. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6 says, Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? A faithful man who can find? And then Solomon in Proverbs, over in Proverbs 25 and verse 19, gives us an example of the negative side of this. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. That brings a lot to mind, doesn't it? You ever have a broken tooth? You ever have a tooth that you need? You know, I found that teeth never repair themselves. You ever notice that? You know, you could break a finger and it'll eventually, you get it straightened back out and it'll heal back together. But a tooth doesn't do that for some reason. You break a tooth, and every time you drink a water, the cool water hits that tooth, and it just sends a pain right from the top of your head right down to your toe. It says, confidence in an unfaithful man's like that. You're reminded constantly. It's a constant irritant, like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. Did you ever get out someplace, maybe a little ways away from where your car was or something, and trip and fall and twist your ankle? Oh my. And then you try to hobble back to the car or hobble back to a place where that you can sit down. And it's just just painful. A constant reminder, why did I step off the trail? Why did I step on that rock? Why did I not watch where I was going? And confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. Faithfulness. God calls us to be faithful. We're going to consider that this morning. Lord, we love you and thank you for this time that we can gather together. Lord, we thank you that you are always faithful, that we can always depend upon you. Lord, help us to be faithful. First of all, faithful to you. And then, of course, faithful to our word, faithful to the things that you've set before us day by day, faithful to your church. Lord, help us to be the kind of example we should be, that folks might look at us and say, he's a good man, he's a faithful man, she's a good lady, a faithful lady. Lord, that you might be pleased with our lives and that we might have the opportunity to share the gospel with others. We'll give you the praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. A faithful man who can find. You know, there's some good to be found in most men and women. Most every individual that walks the planet maybe will sometimes show an act of kindness. Maybe they'll show some mercy to someone, some give help to someone who is totally undeserving. Maybe they'll show some pity or some empathy towards an individual who is in trouble or having a hard time. Faithfulness is more rare than that. In Proverbs 20, verse 6, the writer says, a faithful man who can find. He says much the same of a lady in Proverbs 31 and verse 10. He says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Faithfulness. A faithful man. A faithful woman. I'm afraid it can be hard to find someone who deserves your trust and shows true and constant support and loyalty. It's hard to find sometimes. If you had someone let you down, maybe they told you they would be someplace, they didn't show up. Maybe you shared a confidence with them, thinking that it would stay there, but it didn't. And it came through the circle of gossip, if you will, back to you. It's hard to find someone. Think about how many people do you know that you can trust without question. Trust with a confidence. Trust with your wealth. That you can say, here's the access code for my card, for my bank card. Can you go to do this for me? And you know that they will only take out the amount of money you tell them. They'll bring the card back and they will forget the access code. Now, I don't think it's wise necessarily to give anybody the access code to your bank machine. That's just not necessarily a good thing. Trust with your reputation. We, in Sunday school, a great lesson this morning. Brother Harper said that we all deal with issues from time to time. You know, if I went to Brother Harper, said, Brother Harper, you're right. I'm dealing with this right now. This is bothering. If he went and said, well, told, you know, if he, and I know he wouldn't do this, by the way, and if he said, well, you know, Brother Holman said he was dealing with those things, my reputation, your reputation. Faithfulness is a scarce thing. Proverbs 20, verse 6, a faithful man who can find. Proverbs 31, 10, who can find a virtuous woman? You know, there's some requirements for faithfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 in the New Testament, if you would please. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. For time I read this verse, I think of a young man that was, probably almost 35 years ago that preached on this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, 2, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. The requirement of faithfulness. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Back in the Old Testament, for sake of time, we won't go back there, but Abraham had a steward by the name of Eliezer of Damascus. He was the oldest in his house. He was the one. And he had responsibility for everything in his house. And in Genesis chapter 15, we're introduced to him. But in Genesis chapter 24, we find that Abraham was old. Now that Isaac had been born, and it was time for Isaac to marry, but Abraham knew that Isaac was not to be marrying of the inhabitants of the land, and he knew that he had family back in Haran in the north there, back in what's now Lebanon, and he knew he was too old to make that journey himself, and so he entrusted his steward. In Genesis 24 and verse 1, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant in his house that ruled over all that he had. And he calls on him to go to Haran and to there to bring a wife back for Isaac that ruled over all he had. You see, it's required in stewards. See, this steward of Abraham's, he knew his responsibility. He was faithful in making the trip to Haran. He was faithful when he got to Haran that he sought out to fulfill his responsibility. He was faithful in being urgent about fulfilling his responsibility, not willing to stay there for weeks or months in Haran for the departure, but to say, no, it's urgent that we leave right now. And they left and returned back fulfilling his responsibility. You know, I wonder, are we faithful in fulfilling our responsibility? Back in England, years ago, when Victoria was queen, the prime minister was crossing over Westminster Bridge. A little girl was there, and this is back when milk came in little glass or clay jugs. So he's crossing the bridge, he saw this little girl drop the jug of milk, and she just stood there crying. She'd probably been sent by her mother or father to go and to get the milk and to return it. Lord Palmerston, as the prime minister, stopped the little girl, and she was crying and asked her what was wrong, and I know the conversation that went on, but he told her, he said, you know what? You come back here tomorrow morning at the same hour here on the bridge. I'll bring you money, not only for more milk, but for a new jug. And he went on his way. The girl went on her way home, probably never knowing who this man was that met her. The next morning, Lord Palmerston was in a cabinet meeting when suddenly the thought struck him. It's that appointed hour. The astonishment of his cabinet, he got up, left the cabinet in the middle of the meeting, went down to the Westminster Bridge, and there was a little girl waiting for him. And he gave her the money for the milk and the jug. You see, he had an appointment, he had a responsibility. He was not too big to say, it's not important. He didn't think he was too big that he could delegate somebody else, because he told this little girl, I will meet you here at the appointed hour. Faithful man. Faithful man. You know, we've been given a stewardship. We've been given a stewardship of the gospel. We won't take time to go down through it, but starting in Matthew 28 and going through all five of the gospels and into the book of Acts, we were given the stewardship of taking the gospel to the world. Go ye into all the world and mark and preach the gospel to every creature. It can't get much simpler than that. We have the responsibility. Responsibility begins at home with gospel tracts and little cards to encourage people and our voice to encourage them, our example. But it goes on from there to our mission support, supporting missionaries that serve God around the world, supporting missionaries who are on deputation to go and to take the gospel to places that we individually can never go. It's a stewardship. It's a responsibility. We've been given that stewardship. We've been given that responsibility. We've been given the stewardship of the spiritual treasures and talents God has given us. We've looked before it, spiritual gifts. We all have something that God has given us that He can use for His honor and glory. Each one of us had a gift. It's often called a treasure in earthen vessels. We have a gift. We have a stewardship of that. We have stewardship of what is my ability, what is my gift, what has God enabled me to do to help other Christians, to help individuals. Or it'd be like Tim said, spending time watching over dormitories and spending time talking to the RCMP officers there. Someone's given us that opportunity and ability. Someone's given us the opportunity simply to meet people and to strike up a conversation with them, have a word of encouragement, maybe share a gospel tract with them. Someone's given us the ability of maybe helping people with things, being a servant and helping. God has given us, but God gives us the stewardship of those things. God gives us the stewardships of our home and our families. It's required in stewards, remember, that a man be found faithful. The stewardships of our home. How do we handle our homes and our families? To what do our children, our wives, our husbands see in our lives? Do they see in us a consistent faithfulness? But not only that, we've been given the stewardship of First Baptist Church. We've been given the responsibility. See, this isn't Pastor Holman's church. It's God's church. It's First Baptist Church. You are the church. Well, we're going to have a work day in a couple days, and to help to take care of the building is not the church. It's our gathering together on a consistent, regular basis. Faithfulness. Faithfulness to the work. Faithfulness to attendance. When I pastored in Ontario, I had a man named Frank Worrell, who was one of my deacons, and Frank was a great guy. And I heard from Frank on Wednesday night after church. He said, "Pastor, while I was gone to church on Wednesday night, some guys broke in my house and stole some things." He had some coins, a small coin collection, some other things. And in talking with the police, he told them that he always goes to church on Wednesday night. He always goes to church on Wednesday night. And they said, "Well, probably the thieves know your habits and know your patterns, and they chose to break in your house at 7:30 on Wednesday night because they know you always left about 6:30 to go to church and weren't back until like 8:30 on Wednesday night after the service." Faithfulness. You know, wonder, would even the thieves know that we're faithful? Now, I don't sit and say, "Well, I'll be faithful so somebody can break in my house," but that's not, you know. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. During World War I, a young man was injured. The chaplain was ministering to the boy who was dying of his wounds. I went this 2 weeks ago to the rooms, to the Beaumont Hamill exhibit at the rooms. And I'm glad I went, but I spent half my time either there crying or wanting to cry. The great sacrifice. We cannot begin to understand in our generation the sacrifices made by the greatest generation that we can have the liberties we have now today. I just read this week, kind of a side note, that in the rural regions of China, they're going to village and making elders either sign a pledge that they would no longer attend church If they did not sign that pledge, all their government benefits would be cut off. Can you imagine what this means to these dear people? By the way, there's a great church in China, especially in the rural areas. A young man was injured, and the chaplain was dealing with him, and he asked the young man, "Is there anybody you want me to write?" He says, "Yeah, would you write my Sunday school teacher? She taught me the Bible. She taught me how to be saved. And I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior." And he sent off the letter, and about a month went by, he got a letter back, the chaplain. He said, "Thank you from the Sunday school teacher. Thank you for writing." A week before I got that letter, I went into the pastor and resigned from being a Sunday school teacher. I thought, "I'm not making any difference." But I understand, at least with that one young man in my Sunday school class, I made a difference. She said, "I went back and asked my pastor if I could have my Sunday school class back." Faithfulness. Faithfulness. I, like you, probably can look back in my life and see individuals who were just faithful men and women. Maybe not preachers, but faithful individuals who served God. When I came to church, I knew they would be there. There wasn't a question about that. Unless they were sick or on a summer holiday someplace, I knew they would be there. They were just faithful individuals. But you know, faithfulness is something that is taught. Something we pass down. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, look over there with me, Paul's instruction to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul is writing to Timothy, and Timothy, of course, is his student. And as he writes to him, he gives him some instructions for the generation to come. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. "The things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." See a lot of things in this one small verse. First of all, we see the investment that Paul made in Timothy. He spent time with him, hours, days, months, years, teaching Timothy. Timothy came from a different background. Timothy came from a family that was really a split family, a Jew and a Gentile family. He could be drawn either way, but because of the influence of his mother and his grandmother, and because of the influence of the Apostle Paul, he became one of the great preachers of the first century. Why? Because Paul took time to instruct Timothy. There's no question that he says, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." He says, it wasn't just between you and me. But when we traveled from place to place, in city after city, village after village, the men that traveled with us on our missionary journeys are witness to the fact that I've committed to you the great truths of the Word of God. Timothy was now responsible to pass that onto the next generation. If you look in this verse, we see four generations. We see Paul. We see Timothy. He says, "Timothy, the things that you have learned," he says, "commit those things to faithful men," the third generation, "who shall teach others also," the fourth generation. Generational Christianity. Going from generation to generation to generation. But notice the qualifier, the things commit to faithful men. Who's a faithful man? He's one that's faithful to the teaching of the Word of God. He's one that's faithful to biblical standards of morality and separation. He's one that's faithful to the propagation of the gospel. He's one that's not swayed by the times and opinions of men. You know, if we watch the news and listen to the news today, we see a lot of opinions that are contrary to the Word of God. We see a lot of people saying, well, you ought to do this, and you ought to do this, and you ought not to do this, without setting it up to the test of the Word of God. You know, I wonder, are we committing to faithful men and women? Are we taking the time to invest in the next generation? I've told you before that I believe firmly that I would not be here today were it not for men who had invested in my life as a young man. Two men especially, Glenn Jager and Claire Hayward. I'm sure they both were very frustrated with me at times. I'm sure sometimes they shook their head. Even the pastor who later on baptized me and helped me and helped me to understand I needed to go to Bible college. I told him, I went to his office one time after I was in Bible college for a few months, and I told him, I said, Pastor, I believe God's called me to preach. And he shook his head and said, well, son, if you ever accomplish anything, it'll be sure the Lord doing it. You know what? He's been right. Faithful men. You know, you're here, you're a Christian, you've been saved for years. Who are you investing in? Who will you say, I'm going to be a Claire Hayward or a Glenn Jager? I'm going to be a godly woman who will invest my life in this other individual. I will be a Paul to that Timothy. Invest in faithful men. Faithfulness. Do you know God is always faithful? We could probably look down our life, and it won't take us long to look back through the halls of our memory and find where we have been unfaithful. Where things we know we should have done, we have not done. Promises we've made to God, we have not kept. But God is always faithful. God is always faithful. You know, God has said, I spent time on Wednesday night going through the gospel in detail with my teen class downstairs. And spent a lot of time going through it so that those that were saved would understand clearly what the gospel, and those that were not saved could begin to get a glimpse, because it's, I'm afraid, many times some of the young people that come on Wednesday night speaking of the gospel of Jesus Christ, being saved, being born again, is like speaking a different language to them. They have to learn the language, I'm afraid, before they understand the concept of being born again. It's getting harder and harder these days. But God is always faithful. You know, God has made the promise, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is faithful to that. God is faithful when he says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God is always faithful. He says, if you trust me as your Savior, I will save you. I will change your heart. I will come and live in your life. I'll take you off the road to hell and set you on the road to heaven. I'll give you a new life in Jesus Christ, but the choice is yours. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus didn't say, get your life cleaned up so you're good enough to be saved, because none of us are ever good enough to be saved. Jesus didn't say, well, come and go through these religious rituals, because none of those have any effect at all. But he simply says, if you come to me humbly, much like that jailer in Philippi came to Paul. He was ready to kill himself because he was sure all the prisoners had escaped. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul explained the gospel to him, and that jailer and his family got saved that night. Why? Because God is always faithful. God is always faithful. I wonder... will we be found faithful? When the Mount Vesuvius erupted by Pompeii, some folks were taken off guard. They say you can still go to Pompeii and see the figures of individuals overtaken by the ash and the lava. Some were found hidden in basements and sub-cellars that they thought would protect them, but they did not. Some were found in just the poses of life they were overcame. One of the strangest sights is a Roman soldier at the gate of the city. The volcano was erupting. Panic was all about him. But he's found there frozen in time, standing as a sentry, standing his guard duty at the gate of the city, being a faithful man. I wonder, there's a song, I've heard it many times, will those who come behind us find us faithful? God is always faithful, and God calls upon us to be faithful. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please?